And now, your local forecast.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is The Forecast. My name is M4Sonic and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Chief Street.
Hello, hello.
How are you, mate?
Good, man. I can't believe this is episode 29.
Yeah.
It's a fair crack.
Look, we didn't give up. Do you know what this means? We're in the top 1%.
Yeah, what was the number for when most podcasts drop out? Like they don't see past a certain number, right?
Yeah, 10. A lot of people struggle with 10. And if you have over 20 episodes, you make the top 1% of all podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen.
Going to give it up to us. That's a good 6 months. And like through what? The birth of a child, mm-hmm. through an engagement, mm-hmm. through a holiday.
Yeah.
Like we've kind of, we've committed.
And we went through 2 studios.
Yeah, that's right. We went from Studio B to the new.
So we've done more in this one. Have we?
Already. Oh, that just like is ruining my perception of time and how quickly the end of this year's gone, right?
I actually can't remember.
I think you're probably right. Probably around 15 we kind of swapped, I think.
I can't remember. Anyway, it was season 2, when we started season 2.
Oh, that was actually 1920, wasn't it?
Oh, so we haven't
yet. It's like the Ali episode was…
That was 20. Okay, no, we haven't.
Anyway, like we're going to be there soon.
Yep. I prefer it.
Credit to us. What, this room?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking oath. It's like, I don't know. I think it matches our vibe a bit better. And
it's still evolving.
What do you think's next? I mean, I know we fixed up one thing.
Something in the middle of the set here. And I want to somehow get a PlayStation or an Xbox involved.
On like a screen type of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you imagine back there then maybe? If you could choose something, money wasn't a thing.
Big Forecast logo or a TV screen so that when we're talking about stuff, we can actually like visually see it. But I mean, we could use After Effects for that, but it'd be just a lot
it's
easier.
It's not the same.
Or a fireplace. Or a jacuzzi.
There's so much room for activities back there.
This couch is so big. So we're going to have a guest tonight, but his name is Luke and he has appeared on the Forecast so many times and he has been hiding away on the other episodes behind the cameras and then tonight he couldn't make it.
Yeah, fair enough for not rocking up tonight, but he owes us another episode. I want him in. Mm-hmm. He has, away from the camera, he has has some great thoughts about stuff and is so open and he's obviously experienced a lot with all his travels and how things work overseas and he knows all these people and…
Yep.
But seemingly, it's hard to get him to talk that way when we're on camera.
He doesn't like being under pressure. He likes to be prepared. And because we do this very much on the fly, he kind of, like when we asked him, how's your trip to New York?
Good. I remember that. Be like, and then we're like, how was the weather? Like, did you see anyone?
Yeah. So that's all right.
We love you, Luke. If he's watching.
He'll be watching. Yeah.
Reckon?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Well. Shout out, Luke.
Shout out, Luke.
Producer Luke, we need you back.
Thank you to our American audience, who some of which comment on our Australian accents.
Oh, no. It's Kiwi.
Mate, you're Aussie.
No, but we've got one at the moment. It's like, oh, no.
Really?
You see people making fun of that? Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, no. Apparently, that's what we sound like when we say, oh, no.
I like American accents. I think they sound more educated.
Yeah, we are. I think we've spoken about it before with movies and stuff. It's like, and even our singers sing in American accents because Australian just sounds rough.
It does. Yep. All the rappers that come here put on an American accent.
They come out of here. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But I kind of don't blame them in a way. Mm. It's like, basically in Australia, if you choose to use the Australian accent, you get pocketed as Australian hip hop. Aussie hip hop and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to be able to break outside of that barrier, right? And then there's already so many people in Australia that don't really like that, hearing that either, which is, I'm kind of one of them in a way. Like, I don't know, for me, like growing up, listen, Esso and Hilltop Hoods and all that were like, you know.
Dude, we should get them on the Forecast.
Well, I was going to say I didn't really connect with their music.
Let's talk about that in depth. We'll get them in.
Oh, no, thank you. But they're from Adelaide as well, aren't they?
From Adelaide, yeah. Yep.
Get my producer Luke to hook it up.
Hook it up, yep.
How many is in, is it duos?
There's two and a producer. There's three.
We're going to have to get some new mics.
Yeah, we do.
Ask them to share one.
We've got some upgrades tonight. If you are watching, we finally got the third camera.
So the slider is going to be in this episode?
Yeah, I reckon.
And how do you edit that in? Or is it just, does it?
Oh, no, ask Andrew.
Yeah, all right. I'll send him a message because, well, I know that we've had it up so many times.
And not used it. Okay,
and problem. I've never right. seen it.
Right, so when we jumped to this room, we got three cameras to record it 4K, and one of them needed some adjustments, like the power pack wasn't working. So I sent it off for repairs, and it's taken 10 weeks.
You got it broken.
I did.
It arrived broken. It
arrived faulty. The camera works.
Even from earlier, you would have remembered he'd had the eBay auction saga.
Bang, bang, yeah.
A good saga.
Yeah, it was literally the first camera I got.
And so it rocks up and it's broken. Yep. And so you send it off.
The camera works. It just, for long form recording, I don't like using batteries. I like to plug them into mains power. And for whatever reason, it wasn't working. But yeah, the seller got stitched with a pretty big repair.
How much was that?
Almost $2,000.
Yeah. Oh, and he just has to straight up pay that?
Mm-hmm.
So did you lodge the complaint through eBay?
Nah. Just went direct.
And he paid it.
Well, it's a massive company. It's a camera company.
$2,000's probably nothing.
No. I was like, after 10 weeks of waiting for this camera to be repaired, I was like, can I just get a refund?
Yeah. How long does it take? 2 weeks.
It's taken 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, parts came from the UK.
So now all three are the same camera though, right?
All three are the Canon Cinema Line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I reckon they look sharp as. I'm still experimenting. I want more cameras. Well, later.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe not for us.
No, totally. Because, look, I could bore our audience to tears with the gear stuff, but ultimately it's a TV show and we would have camera operators. And if anybody's watched Impulsive, they have, I think, six cameras, but they have camera operators as opposed to what we've got, which is kind of like two fixed and one slider.
So what, they got someone?
Yeah. They've got a couple of guys roaming and then they've got fixed cameras and whatnot. And it just, especially when you have like four guests, it's good to have all your guests with a locked off shot mm-hmm. or multiple angles.
Plus,
you know, you're roaming and to capture funny stuff. And yeah.
I don't think I've watched one of their podcasts.
The last one I watched was when the Island Boys. Is it Lonely Boys?
Island Boys. Those guys.
And they just,
I'm an Island Boy. They would have been the worst.
It was shocking. They walked out.
Real? Why? Because yeah. They were just getting.
They got offended because one of them gave them some money advice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably could use it because I don't think they've done very well.
I don't think so.
An Island Boy. Yeah, I'm not surprised. But I don't know. I like when he has. I don't know if you've noticed or care much. Logan Paul's gotten heaps into like WWE wrestling. And he's a champion now.
Yep.
And when I was a kid.
Wait, I thought his brother was the one.
Brother's a boxer.
Ah.
Well, they're both kind of, I think Logan boxes a bit. Who did he just fight? Oh, I should know. Was it Diaz? Might have been. He's been doing a lot of WWE lately, but he's really fucking good. Like legitimately really, really good. So I'm not a diehard WWE fan. When I was a kid, I just used to like watching it. Still enjoy it. Seeing clips and stuff. I'm not going to sit there and watch Raw for 2.5 hours anymore. But when I've seen his clips and I've watched some of his matches and like, he's crazy. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
He puts on a great show.
He got famous on TikTok originally for doing the splits in random places.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. He would just be like walking through the streets of New York or on a subway and then bang, did the splits. And it was super impressive, like super athletic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'd love to be able to show you some stuff right now. You'd be like, what the
f-? Yeah, right.
He goes hard. Yeah. And I think like a lot of the WWE audience was very against him coming on board because they were like, who's this YouTuber, mm-hmm. you know, ringing? Oh, they're just trying to get influencers here. And then he's just kind of wowed everyone and everyone's like, all right, you're pretty good. And so I think he's the USA champion or something at the moment.
Wow. I just don't have enough free time to watch stuff. I only create.
What you're going to say to wrestle?
I just don't have enough time to wrestle, man. I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, I could be that guy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah. I don't have a lot of time to. I can listen to podcasts usually.
Mm-hmm.
I usually watch ours somewhat through just making clips.
Dude, I just came on the radio. I just came on my car system the other night because it must have been like Up Next, and I haven't listened to it in the car. And I listened to Chief's voice, and I was like, damn, whatever radio station I've tuned into, this guy's dreamy. And I was like, oh, it's Chief.
You're listening to me live right now. Yeah. What's all? I mean, the whole setup here is very high end.
Thank you.
I thought Seek last week sounded really good too.
Absolutely. We got to get Seek back.
Yeah.
There's so much more I want to unpack with Seek. So if you're watching, mate.
Yeah. I think the guest list is running low, so I guess we just bring people back
it's
in.
It's really, do you know what? It's actually been so challenging. Like everyone we've reached out to has been so keen, but logistically trying to get people into the studios.
It's hard.
It's been real hard.
Some benefit of the doubt is that it's the end of the year.
Oh, it's the silly season for sure.
But however, I do wish that when people said, yes, I'm keen, meant yes, I'm keen.
Yep.
But it's a tricky situation for us because we have obviously a very good setup and produce high quality, probably some of the best stuff around, or at least to the bar.
Mm.
But some people want us to have all this play and clout that goes along with it. And like it's like we're still in the building stages and we still are good for a chat, you know?
So to our loyal audience, I just want to... And this is on behalf of Chief as well. Like we are so grateful because I think this episode's nearing like an end of year recap. Like we're super grateful because what we've done is we have very much tried to keep this as genuine and as authentic as possible. We haven't done any advertising. We should, but I think we wanted to prove to ourselves that we could at least get 10 episodes done, 20 episodes done. You know, I was building the next studio while we were starting it. Like we just. You know, not that we didn't know what we were doing, but we're very much winging it. And to have built the audience that we have now, even though it's not substantial when you think of how massive audiences need to be to get clout nowadays, we're very grateful for everybody that's joined along and that comments on YouTube and, you know, response to Q&As on Spotify and direct messages and have waited patiently for their USB and t-shirts to arrive from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take weeks.
Yeah, for those. They are on their way.
It's just Christmas time. So yeah, we really genuinely appreciate it. And we hope that when this grows and becomes something big, that you guys will still be front and center.
And we'll know who they are.
So oh, absolutely. We've already made note.
So. Yeah, it's tough for us because starting from scratch, right, all the pages from like even though the YouTube's got all these subscribers, it's not reaching the audience that's there.
No.
And sometimes what we do falls on deaf ears in a way.
Mm.
More so that like there's plenty of people looking. There's not always the engagement or the comment or the reach out that follows it, right?
Yep.
How many times have we received a message or an email from someone? You're like, how the hell?
Yep.
We've been told, oh yeah, I watch your podcast. I've seen your podcast. Or this guy who's told this guy who's a manager for this person has watched your podcast. I'm like, how? You just never know, really.
Yeah.
It's been difficult to stay committed.
But the caliber of people that are watching this too.
Yeah.
That's been...
That's a part of it, right? Yeah. And that's kind of to my point. It's like when we've learned that certain people are watching.
Certain labels, certain managers, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, if you were to look at the metrics only, you would and
you'd be like, well, this reel, I put up an Instagram post half an hour ago. I'm going to assume it's probably got less than 50 views. And that's not a problem. We're not in it for that.
No.
But it's tough, man. You know, 6 views. How good's that?
And yet we're number 2 like podcast in the world. Like that's just unreal.
So yeah, it's but you know, I think the best part about it is I genuinely do really enjoy doing this anyway.
Yeah. And hopefully it's the value proposition is that as much as we enjoy doing it, hopefully you guys get a something valuable from it as well. And I was trying to explain to someone who'd only just recently discovered our podcast, like what's it about? Well, first it was about us. And it will always be about us because we've got so much to unpack, especially from my point of view. And, you know, effectively I had a brand that was doing really well, then didn't pivot at the time that it should have, and then had lots of roadblocks, which I take full responsibility for. So how does that work in 2024? Well, fortunately, all the things that I'm learning and experimenting with and implementing apply to Chief Street. Now, Chief Street is still a veteran and has been around for a long time. But in terms of where he needs to go internationally, I'm literally in the same situation. But, you know, in terms of like, all right, we've got to get a visa and we need an agent and, you know, need to have a certain amount of releases on a certain amount of labels and all this stuff. So it's been really good for us to collaborate in that strategy.
Still haven't gotten in studio together.
Well, we have. We made the jingle.
We made the jingle. I know. I can't believe it though. Like in the past, what, 18 months, how much time we've spent together. Yeah. We're just so concentrated on doing everything else, right? That we get left with no time to just mess around, right? I know your workload's like insane at the moment.
You asked me when we rocked up tonight, you're like, how are you going? I was like, oh, I'm a bit flat. Mm. And I am, I'm terrified at the moment because I've made my bed and now I've got to sleep in it. Like, it's not a bad thing. There are much worse shit going on in the world, but I am struggling to find the time to justify the pursuit.
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, you need to make a living, right?
I'm still going to.
Yeah, it's just really,
it's so much harder. If anybody is still living at home and doesn't have any financial burden or any responsibility or dependence, please utilize this time.
Stay as long as you can.
Just make as much music as you possibly can and stop. Like one of the things that was annoying me or Seek in our episode last week and it was not last week, sorry, a couple of weeks ago. We were having a conversation off camera where he's like, oh, I don't know what to do with this song and it doesn't really fit with the Seek brand and I don't want to put it out because I don't, I was like, dude, you just got to get it out. It's been on a hard drive for that many years. There are so many reasons not to put out music. And it just escalates. Like I have, I think over 215 records that haven't gone out and I'm just thinking forward now, like, oh, I'll start a new project, but there's so many little awesome projects that just didn't see the light of day and I should have put it out. As with our episodes, we don't curate our own episodes and go, oh, that podcast episode wasn't great. Let's not put it out. It's
imagine
like,
imagine we did.
You would have one episode.
Imagine how many we would have just been like, oh, look, that's that whole segment. Like the Kiss segment last week, I thought I dropped the ball on it. I got too ahead of the story and just ruined it, right? If that was my choice, I would say get rid of it and we'll do it another time or something.
Well, we're hoping that people, this is a long form. So I'm thinking people will listen to this in the car or they might put it on the telly and watch it. I watched it on the telly for the first time a couple of weeks ago when I wanted to see what the cameras looked like, high res. I was like, oh, actually it's like a TV show as opposed to this sort of pixelated crap that you see other people do like Joe Rogan. Anyway, I was watching and I was like, yeah, you've really got to dedicate a good amount of time to watch our show. But the time that I'm investing in the forecast is probably the time I would have been investing in making music. So we'll get there. We will get there. I will hopefully see a time where you and I are catching up at the studio, not because like, we've got to do this or you've got a client or I've got a client. It's like, no, we're catching up tonight. Because we're gonna make some music. Yeah.
I wish.
We will make time. Well, 2024. It's the year.
Speaking of music, I'm dropping a song tomorrow. Just on SoundCloud.
Okay. Oh, hang
on. Just the remix. I feel so bad.
Dude.
How did this happen?
Okay, so you know how I keep saying to you, and again, I don't have a huge amount of time, but I will do this for anybody that sends a code. MSTR. That's the code word for a free master by yours truly. She's like, can you master this song? I was like, yeah, cool. Send it. Send me the most fire bootleg of Skrillex. Is what was it?
Bun Up the Dance with Skrillex and Dylan Francis.
Dylan Francis. Thank you. I pretty much did it the same day you sent it. And then I, just because I'm so efficient, put it back in the Dropbox folder and then just figured you'd get a notification. I think I messaged you, like, done. Anyway.
Well, maybe you said done and that just meant like, affirmative, like yes.
And the other great thing about when I master Chief's records, and I'm so grateful that he even lets me touch his stuff, his mix, the execution, the technical execution of a Chief Street mix, everything is already balanced. So when I listen to it and I'm looking at the frequency response over the entire spectrum of sound, it's all there. Well done.
Thank you. That's with zero training, really.
And he doesn't have a fucking crazy ass studio. Like, I obviously used ours, right?
But honestly, most of it gets done in that. I would have done that remix in my room And where I live, I can't turn the volume up. Yep. So it would have just been like super quiet on my HS8s. No,
I think you have a talent.
And then, but then I get to come in here and blast it for a bit, but it's already done by that point. But anyway, so back to the story. So I kind of sent, before I went on holiday, I put a song into a Dropbox. I send Nick, I say, can you please master this? He must have just said done, at which point I thought he just meant like thumbs up. Yeah,
no, I've got it. Done.
And then for the last, I've sent you three other emails saying, can you please, do this?
Top of my email and I was like, oh shit, sorry. I thought it was a new song. And I've been so busy.
I know.
I'm like, so sorry, dude. I'll get to it. And then I download it. I'm like, dude, I've done this.
And I was like, what? And then I went and opened the fucking original folder and it's been sitting there since October. And I was like, bro. But anyway, it was great. You fucking saved it. So like, I was really not happy with how it was.
I haven't even talked to you about it. Yeah, did I get it? You were happy with it?
Smashed it. So good. Because I was concerned that, so the remix has two separate drops. One is the trap and then one is like the acid-y house.
Yeah.
And because they're two separate sounds, I didn't know if they, it just didn't feel like they mixed enough volume-wise. Like I felt like the trap one was like really loud and compressed. Mm-hmm. And then the acid one, which was like techie, because it was so simple, was really loud in an empty way. Like the trap one was loud because there was so much shit going on.
Right.
And the other one was loud because it was minimal. And so the certain elements were just doing work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just didn't feel like they meshed. But now, beautiful. So the annoying part is, right, throughout this whole time of doing this bootleg, I'd been putting it on SoundCloud because that's one of my number one tests, right? I'm going to commit to remixing something. Can I put it on SoundCloud? If I can't, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
If I can, then that's the green light. Go for it.
Yep.
But the entire way I've been putting the full bootleg on SoundCloud with full Skrillex and Dylan Francis, title and everything. No worries. No flags.
Yep.
Last night I go to upload the final, like the master, to just put it on private and have it all set up, ready to go for tomorrow. Boom, flagged straight away. I was like, wait, what? I was like, I've put this up. I looked in my history. I had 9 other versions of the same song with the same title and it hadn't been flagged.
Interesting.
And then I couldn't get around it. So I had to make a minute like intro to get around the copyright.
What?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. It worked. It's sitting there now, so tomorrow I'll put it on.
But it has a minute long intro.
Yeah, it just the intro bit, I just like slowed down. Like I looped it for a minute. It's like a drum pattern or whatever.
So it's like an extended edit? Okay, could I ask you, for those playing at home that want a copy of the one I mastered for you that's like…
Yeah, they can get it on my Bandcamp.
Yeah?
Yep. It'll be up on Bandcamp. Well, it's actually up there now, but no one knows my Bandcamp.
I'm going to do a fancy little… Get it here. Wait, where am I pointing on the screen?
I tell you what, I'd bloody appreciate it because I don't think I've ever seen like a full check from a song anyway. But a while ago, I put all this, I made a Bandcamp and I put all my shit on it and I've never posted it.
Bandcamp's wicked.
But I'm going to, tomorrow that's the plan. So the intro is the drum loop and just to try and give it some variation, I like slowed the tempo at the beginning and filtered it and washed it up. Starts obviously like super filtered and reverby and slow and then it kind of just progresses over 45 seconds and then it kind of starts and it does make sense in the end but it's also very frustrating because I had the one version go up 9 times without any worries until I decided I was going to release the final.
Well, I have a problem with SoundCloud.
Annoying.
And I still haven't fixed it. Someone put a song up called Ra Ra and look, it's not a half bad track. Like it's not good, but it's not bad. But it's on my SoundCloud. And it's not me. And I can't get it down because every time I say remove, it said contact the label or distributor.
That happened to me and mine got taken down straight away.
Yeah, well.
But I know you had tried very many times to do the same thing.
So you know what I did? I went on SoundCloud and I commented on it. This is not my track, all capitals, just yelling, please remove this track. And whatever, it is what it is.
Now it lives there forever.
Got any other music I can master?
I'm trying to figure it out, man. I don't know what's next for me. I think so. You said you had 200 songs. I have about 9. And I think I'm like we were saying before, I think I just want to get it out. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Just get it out. So I don't have a lot of new music. But I have old stuff that I'm trying to actually make sure I get out in the next year. Like next year, I just got to do it, man.
Oh, I have just botched this year with my 36 track album.
How many came out?
Two.
34 to go. Gonna be a big few weeks.
It's gonna be a big year next year.
Yeah, I mean, at least like the a lot of the work's done there, right?
Yeah, I need to just have another strategy session with Luke because the whole idea was it was gonna be work in progress. So it wasn't complete. Yep. And then I listened to him like, oh, this has got legs. This could be something. Let's get a vocalist.
I have a scenario for you.
Oh, bring it.
And this is more going to be for the benefit of myself, but I think other people might find it interesting. I've got a bit of a presentation to go to tomorrow. Going to be a room full of upcoming DJs, right? These people competed in the Your Shot competition. And usually when that competition ends, they don't do it. Like obviously the people who run it don't just like keep pursuing this batch of people that they got. One of our friends noticed that there was a very core, passionate group of people who, you know, didn't want the ride to end because it's a pretty, you know, pretty big build up into that final performance.
You want to give some context to anyone that doesn't know what Your Shot is?
Yeah, so Your Shot is a DJ competition for people with little to medium to no experience. Mm-hmm. So they get assigned a mentor. Mm-hmm. So a pool of them apply and get accepted. And then they get assigned a mentor. I think they're in like groups of 10 or 20. They schedule times for them to have these sessions with their mentors where they go and play with gear and get advice and practice and learn everything. And then they go to a venue where there's like three stages or something. And then they compete. There's judges within the crowd, which I think might be the mentors have votes and stuff like that. And then there's a winner. And I think there's two winners and like two runners up. I think the prize for the winners is that they get booked to play like a special show overseas.
Yeah, wow.
Somewhere.
Yep.
But I think what often happens is that, you know, those kids have this, because I do think it's quite a young, you know what, maybe it's not a young demographic, but they get, you know, they're riding that hype train and then suddenly it's over and then obviously the competition holders aren't going to pursue anything from that point. Mm-hmm. So they just stop.
Yeah, right. Yep,
competition's
yep.
over.
Yeah.
So one of our friends kind of saw that there was a really passionate group and thought, you know what, why don't we continue this kind of theme? And every week this group of people have been going to a venue in Adelaide, catching up, playing on the gear. They've got a few decks set up and they've had people come in and present and chat and give advice and stuff. And so now it's my turn go in there and to talk to these people.
Yeah, right.
Tomorrow night. And I haven't prepared, but I feel okay about that because…
Let's prepare now.
That's what I'm here for. So if I write anything on my phone, you know why.
Okay. Well, let's make some good content out of this.
Yeah. So I guess what I wanted to start with is just obviously I want you to pretend like you're me and how you're going to approach this. And
hi, I'm True Street. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. That was rough. No.
My name's M. Forsyth.
Yeah.
I run a studio.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be professional.
Okay.
So obviously, other than just intros at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
I have a few topics I definitely want to cover. One of them's like priorities. And what I mean by priority is just like, what are your goals? Like, what do you actually want out of this?
Okay.
Do you think that, like, to me, right, I knew what I wanted. I didn't want to be a DJ. I wanted to make music.
I didn't want to be a DJ. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to get into any club in Adelaide. I wanted heaps of people to follow me on Instagram.
I wanted
free drinks. Yeah. I wanted clout.
I didn't want to line up anymore.
Yeah.
No, well, I got none of that. So you can tell what lane I chose. But you know what I mean? Like I very quickly was like, I don't want to be a resident DJ and I don't want to work on Friday and Saturday and Sunday night. And I just like making music with cool people and that's what I want to do. And then if I want to perform it, but then when I perform, I want to perform on my own terms. You know, I don't want to be told you're going to play 10 till 11 tonight and you're going to play strictly 128. And if you don't play Taylor Swift four times, you know,
you're not
getting
it. A friend that is no longer a friend of mine, who you will know exactly who I'm talking about.
Already.
I helped someone years and years and years ago. They were exactly what Chief has just spoken about, they were a resident and they wanted to get ahead and they asked for advice. And I totally took this individual under my wing and through the label, and we built up original compositions, but this person kept chasing trends. And same conversation. What's your priorities?
Yeah.
And I think deep down I knew that the priorities were, whilst he loved music, he just wanted to be big fish.
Yeah.
That was it. Main stage show. And every decision he made to get to the main stage really had little to nothing to do with the music. So my point is, for when you ask people tomorrow night, yeah, they're all going to give you the same spiel. Oh, I'm just passionate about music. Bullshit. What's the real reason? Like, do you want to play a show because you've got some originals that you want to showcase and you want to vibe out and you want to see, look at him go, his finger's like, Do you want people to, I don't know, interpret your music and be taken on a journey? Like, I'm not trying to get too deep and meaningful and weird in here, but like, do you have something of value to give to the world? Or are you looking at it from a really self-absorbed, narcissistic approach?
It's such a rough thing to be like, to ask someone, like, are you chasing bullshit or do you love music?
Am I fucking wrong?
Not really, but it's a hard thing.
Okay, so you don't have to be as blunt.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm going to basically mask all that.
You can do the happy clappy, like, oh, are you doing it for the passion of music or do you just want free drinks? Like, no, you could definitely try and ask. You want to empower people by motivating them for the right reasons. You don't want to just belittle them or be condescending. You want to say to these guys tomorrow night, like, guys and girls, if you are really in this, you've got to, I guess, appreciate this is going to take time. And yeah, there's going to be a bit of like playing the game. You got to go out to clubs. You got to talk to promoters. You got to get in with venues. You've got to, you know, earn your stripes. And then you've got to have some good music too, like some good bootlegs. Like, you need to collaborate with other artists. I'd be interested to know too, how many of these Your Shot DJs are producers and artists, or
we're going to find out, because I know the emphasis has been quite a bit on DJing. I'm going to be like, the first thing I'm going to do is like, I am not going to touch the decks for you tonight. I hope you're not expecting to see a DJ, because I'm not going to DJ. I'll play the music that I've made, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know how to mix.
Do you really well. Think?
Which I can, but like, they don't need someone to show them to sync the BPMs. Sure, someone's been like, yes, you just take off the bass and then you mix them. Like, that's not.
No, there's software that can do that for you. Do you think being a DJ is enough to get ahead?
No. That's where it comes back to your priority or goal. Do you just want to be a DJ?
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Do you want to DJ weddings? You'd fucking love like being in a happy crew.
Weddings go off and you don't play your own music at weddings. You play the hits. You play the classics. You play whatever is going to make that night so memorable and special. But the same for certain venues, certain clubs. You need to sell drinks. That is what makes venues money. So if you play songs that the whole crowd can sing along to, that does well for business. If you play hardstyle or trap in a venue where people are like, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon at a beach, like, you know, it's not going to work for you. And also, if you're only ever interested in the main stage show where you can do whatever you want, nah.
Very few and far between those ones.
That's right. So I hope I haven't sounded too negative, but no. That's
definitely a big talking point.
Has that helped?
Yeah, I had that in mind basically, like literally the priorities and goals was the number one. The number two was basically, you already covered it a bit, which is relationships and networking.
Mm-hmm. Massive.
I mean, how many times does something come along and it's because, oh yeah, I went out with that guy 6 years ago. We went to all the clubs, or like I met him through this and then we were friends for a while.
Call me cynical, but I think it's all transactional.
That's not a bad look. That's how business is done, and music is business.
So if you're expecting a main stage shot with little of no offer of how does that work for venue?
Right? Like if you're going to put me, if we're going to put you on this show, can you at least bring 10 friends? You know what I mean? At a low level, right?
Well, yeah, at a small venue, but if you're playing at a super club.
No, I'm not talking about super club. But this is what I'm saying. Little.
And then this is where, you know, the TikTok metrics and the Instagram, everybody's like, well, shit, I need to have 100,000 followers in Adelaide to be able to get booked at this night, because I at least can show the venue that I'm going to be able to pull heads, you know, and make the money. So
that was another topic.
Yep.
Anything else? That's kind of as far as I got, as other than I'm going to run through some of my music and then just give like a back story on how. Because I think it's funny when you play a song, you remember how this came about and why. Like obviously my I've spoken about it enough. I'm not going to go into it, but the boombox tree for me, very established, right? You can got to this point and I can work backwards into how I got that.
But it all still comes down to, and for those that don't know the story, you made a really fire bootleg.
Mm.
Bootleg is an official remix that did really well. It resonated with a lot of people because you could genuinely tell that you and Seek and Destroy loved making that song.
Mm.
And then that was picked up by massive DJs and played at massive venues and festivals, and the track got heat. To this day, I still don't understand why that didn't become an official release.
Yeah, I can't. I was actually surprised when Seek was saying that there was a remix album for it.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone knew about it because your one was the one. So that's an example of where people saw value. If you look at my career, I had a video that was blowing up on YouTube of a bootleg. Like it was me taking sample. Yeah, it was a mashup and it did really, really well. And then, from that, I was given the opportunity to try out being an artist and a producer, and it's taken me until now to really feel like I'm any good.
There's three things to cover. Can you think of any big topic headings? You don't have to dive into it, but is there any kind of principles or…
Etiquette?
Yes, good
point. I think we've spoken about this at other times. Like I often tell the story where like not these days, but when I first started and I would go to, meet a girlfriend's family for the first time, or you're just meeting people the first time, you're trying to explain what you do. You can, particularly in Adelaide, I don't think overseas, but in Adelaide, people are like, oh, you're a DJ.
Mm.
Mm, interesting. Bit of a party animal. Must take a lot of drugs. No. Again, going back to what are your priorities, what's your purpose, why are you in the whatever. You don't have to get smashed and drunk every time you go to a venue. Some people have performance anxiety and that's how they handle with it. Or some people just feel the need to drink excessive amounts to be a party animal. Like you don't have to. I've done heaps of shows sober, heaps.
I'm sober every time.
I'm a control freak. I don't want to be paralytic up there and lose my mind. So etiquette comes down to conduct yourself as an artist. Yes, like it's a business.
Right?
Professionalism. So, try and remember the promoter's name. Thank them for the opportunity. Be on time. Don't miss your flights.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Say goodbye.
Just be a good human being. Don't be an obnoxious little shit because there's so many DJs that are, there's a thing called a drinks and tech writer. Okay. So what that is effectively is, someone books me for a show. I send through a document, or the management team sends through a document. Nick needs CDJs of this like spec, because that's what I use and I'm really good at that model. I mean, it's the 3000s now, but back in the day it was the 2000s. Okay. And Nick would like, my drinks writer 10 years ago was something.
Vodka Red Bull.
Terrible, terrible idea.
Good for the ticker.
Terrible. Don't have energy drinks before a show. Like get some sleep and fresh air. Anyway, things like that. And some people would have a lot of fun with your drinks writer. You'd say, oh, get me a key ring from the local shop or something so that I have something to remember that venue by. Like that's clever. Like, but ultimately it was like, what does the artist need to feel comfortable? They're going to be homesick, jet lagged, and they want to have a good time and feel embraced by the community. What do you need? So anyway, I go off. Some DJs would just be like, oh, they didn't get Grey Goose vodka, I'm not playing this show. Or like, this is crap. Or, people would just turn into celebrities and really give the venue staff a hard time. And you just don't win the long game if you act like that. You've got to treat people with a bit of respect. So anyway, rant over, but that is something that I think the new era of these DJs, especially people that have enormous TikTok and Instagram followings without having really at their stripes in the industry.
Mm.
We see it all the time, especially in like the studios, as a photographer will be like, I want to come be your photographer and I want 120 grand a year because I've got 10,000 followers on Instagram. It's like, dude, you're 17. Like, wow, you took some photos and put it through
people watched them.
A filter. Like, Yeah. So etiquette's a big one. I think we really need to hone that in, and that will do massive things, especially when you go to other countries and yeah.
Give me one more. I'm just trying to round out my, I need to speak for at least what, 30 minutes? I reckon I've got 25 there.
Okay.
One more thing. That's it. You don't have to deep dive in it.
Yeah. Look, I think it's being a DJ and is a really, really fun thing in the moment. But I think you need to understand that 90% of, you know, that 1 hour set or that 90 minute set that you're going to play all comes down to a few things. Preparation is key. So we've talked about building fire set lists and keeping your set list up to date with, you know, whatever's trending at the time, but your interpretation of that, because you want your show to be quite unique and individual. That's why I ask if they're producers, because like I play lots of bootlegs that I've made, or I will mix songs together, or like edits that I've made that nobody else has. And you've got to be prepared to eat a bit of crap. You know, you've got to have some really shitty flights, and you've got to go to venues, and you've got to travel away from friends and family, and it's an unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Human body's not really meant to be in a tin can for 14 hours and whatever. And yeah, they are late nights. You're not going to have a regular sleep cycle. You do need to be aware of your mental health and physical health and all that well-being basically, because it's very taxing, you know. And also, if I can leave on a parental note at the very end, protect your hearing.
Yeah.
Like I went and got, I think they're minus 15 decibel in-ear plugs. I'll go find them and I'll talk about them another time and even let you know where I got them, because they are brilliant. And I only ever bought one pair and I've looked after them. Fantastic. Like I don't have the ringing in my ears. Compromised slightly though, if I'm honest, like don't get to hear and feel the music as much.
Yeah.
They're fantastic, especially in environments. You know, they're great on planes too. If someone, you know, you always get that drunk idiot that's yelling in your ear.
Oh, fuck. Dude, clubs? Yeah. Tough.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fantastic because you can still hear speech. So you could still be talking to me right now and
Let's that frequency in.
Let's that frequency in, but, you know, the really piercing highs and the things that are going
to… Yeah.
Yeah, because your ears have effectively got these tiny little hairs and they, you know, resonate and react to sounds. And if too much sound, which is a nightclub or a loud lawnmower or whatever, or a Formula One car going past, they break, they snap. And that's the ringing. And as the ringing fades, it's because you've lost that high end and you can't get it back yet.
We've all come out of a club with that ringing in our ears and it sucks.
What?
We've all come out of a club with the ringing. Oh, good one. Fuck. All right.
Fell for it.
Yeah, I did.
There you go. Does that help?
Yes, that's definitely going to help. A couple extra topics.
Right.
And I think I'll just wing the rest and tell them to watch the forecast.
Yeah. Tune into the forecast.
Why did I say that?
There you go. The very American style forecast. Yeah.
Watch the forecast. Like and subscribe.
Emphorsonic. I love the way the Americans say my name. Australia, it sounds like you have emphysema. They're like, emphysonic?
Yeah.
Emphorsonic. Yeah, cool. All right. Hopefully this episode, is there anything else you want to do?
No, not at all.
It? Okay. Hopefully this has been of some value. We're getting near Christmas. So we'll see how that goes.
We had decorations and they're covered in glitter, so they're not coming out of the box.
Yeah, we aborted the decorations, but maybe next week. Yep. Where Nico has had more sleep and isn't so…
Has the vacuum ready.
All right. Interested to hear how the presentation goes. I've actually got a interesting presentation tomorrow. So when you listen to this episode, it would have already happened, but I'm doing a guest appearance on Twitch with Chorus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What? You guys must have been in contact.
Yeah, yeah. So things are ramping up there. So effectively the CEO is going to give like a rundown on how the platform works, and I'm going to be doing some content too to sort of explain a bit more, because we've had a lot of interest, a lot of people sort of asking. I have seen the YouTube comments. I need to respond to them when I've got spare 5 minutes. And yeah, basically a rundown. And then we really want to ramp up getting people to start trialing and using the platform and sort of getting immersed in it. Yeah. I want to get Chief on it as well. So that would be kind of fun to show Chief how to use the platform, because ultimately, you know, we're talking about how do people get into the game. Well, this is a really cool way to get community, like massive, massive step forward. So yeah, exciting things happening in the music industry. I'll let you know how that meeting goes tomorrow. Maybe even pull some snippets from the interview and stay tuned. And big love from us, episode 29.
I will say we're going to try our best to make sure that the next few weeks go smooth, but we don't know what's going to happen.
We just,
it's a bit of a crapshoot these last few weeks when we're going to be available.
Yep. crazy time of year. All right. See you soon.
Bye.